In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me. These are famous words of St. Paul, and I dare say not well understood words of St. Paul. If they were well understood, we would not be a mediocre people with small churches and little zeal and many sins. If we truly understood these words, then we would be mounting up like eagles, and the whole world would know of our faith, and the Christian faith would not have been discarded for secularism in Western society, of which we are a part. What do these words mean? This is the Sunday after the exaltation of the cross. Yesterday we celebrated this great and salvific feast. What do these words mean? They are about the cross, and they are also about baptism. Because when the Lord says, or excuse me, when St. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, he's making a reference to baptism. Because the baptism is the way in which we enter into the life of Christ. But how can we be crucified with Christ? Now, one of my pet peeves is the Western idea of the cross. It's such a shallow idea. It's such, in many ways, to me, an idea that leads more to atheism than to belief. The idea that God would punish his Son in order to assuage his anger so that he would not punish us. And with that idea also comes this idea that the cross is suffering. Well, I've talked to you about that. The way of the cross is not primarily suffering. It would include suffering, just like being a parent can include suffering. But the way of being a parent is not suffering. It is love. And so is the way of the cross, love. If we are crucified with Christ, and Christ is punished for our sins, then are we on the cross being punished for our sins? That makes no sense. So how are we crucified with him? In the gospel, it says another thing about the cross. It said, whosoever will, let him come out, die, deny himself, and take up his cross. To take up something means we voluntarily lift it up, put it upon our shoulders. To take it up means that it's voluntary. Our Lord voluntarily went to the cross. Our Lord voluntarily sacrificed himself so that we would be renewed. We've always understood this. Our services are full with references about how the cross renews. We call it an ensign of victory. In the one of the hymns, the magnification of last night, we say that we honor thy holy cross whereby thou hast saved us from bondage to the enemy. So the Lord saves us from bondage by ascending the cross. Then also, of course, descending it as a dead human being and going down into Hades and breaking the bars of Hades, thereby breaking the bonds of sin, breaking the wages of sin, which is death, and arising so that our human flesh can arise, and then taking it even two steps further by ascending into heaven so that our flesh can ascend and be with God, and sending the Holy Spirit after his ascension so that we can find the way, because otherwise we would have no chance whatsoever, even with baptism, of finding God if the Holy Spirit did not enlighten us from within. So the cross is an instrument of reconciliation and of healing and of freedom. That's what the Lord used it for. And so if we are to be crucified with Christ, first of all, it must be our choice to be crucified, to be on the cross with him, not to endure agony and punishment, but to give ourselves up completely to the will of God. That's what being crucified with Christ is. To give ourselves up to the will of God as he gave himself up to the will of his Father, and to become free. That's the thing that excited me most about true Christianity. Freedom. Freedom from my sins. I can still remember, it's a bit of a time ago now, 30 years or so ago, when I had the Protestant idea and understanding of the cross. And I wanted to follow God, but I didn't always do the greatest job. I was a young man, prone to passions. I wanted to be rid of my passions. And nobody could really tell me how to be rid of my passions. They just say, oh, you believe in God. You're saved because you have Jesus in your heart, because he paid the penalty for your sin. Well, he might have paid the penalty for my sin, I thought. But I still sin. And I still feel the pain of my sin, even if it is forgiven. I didn't like that. I didn't want that. And God, in his infinite mercy, led me then to the Orthodox faith, which tells me emphatically that my sin can be obliterated, can be turned as far away as the east is from the west, that I can become pure and holy, so that I can be in the presence of God who is pure and holy, with no more passions, no more darkness, no more unhappiness, no more incompleteness, no more sickness. This is what the cross offers to us. And to be crucified with Christ is to have Christ living in us, so that we act as Christ acted. He gave himself completely over to the will of his Father. And so we must also. Why is it that we are so foolish and consider our will to be strong and good when we have evidence many, many times that our will leads us in the wrong direction and that our will is weak and cannot complete a task that we know needs to be done? Why is it that we trust our will? Being on the cross means we understand that our will is weak, but God's will is strong. And that in giving ourselves over to God, we become strong. That's being crucified with Christ. It's about freedom. It's about healing. It's about strength. Now, to a worldly person, the cross doesn't look like something that gives strength. It looks like something that's done to someone who is weak. But we who are weak know how to become strong. St. Paul goes on and says, after he says, I am crucified with Christ, that the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what is this faith in the Son of God? If we are crucified with Christ and we have this faith in the Son of God, how does this manifest? Well, for many people, unfortunately, we live now in an age where faith is misunderstood, so I must address it. Orthodox priests must address false faith. This idea that believing about Christ is faith in the Son of God. It's not. That believing some theological truth about Christ is faith in the Son of God. It's not. Faith in the Son of God is to live according to who the Son of God is to become like the Son of God. Faith is what you do because of what you believe. Faith is not one static thing. It's not just belief. Faith is action based upon belief. It's much more profound, actually, than action placed up because of belief. It is who we are because of belief. You completely change as a human being if you have faith in the Son of God. The darkness in you becomes light. The cold in you becomes warm. The indifference in you becomes zeal. The hatred in you becomes love. That is what faith in the Son of God is. It's a complete change of the human person into holiness, so that we would be with God who is holy. The rest of that sentence also explains to us how we are on the cross and how we live our faith in the Son of God. It says, He loved me who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christianity is the process of giving. You give your love, which God has given to you, to others. You can't give it away. It won't go away. You cannot extinguish your love. You cannot run out of it. The more you give it, the more it increases. If you do not have an idea, and the word idea is the wrong word. If your essence, if your being is not one of someone who wants to give to others, then you're not Christian yet. Because Christ gave to us. And if we are to be crucified on the cross with Christ, that means we are to become like Him, which means we are to give to others. If you have problems in your life, if there's something that really you can't get over, some sin, some sadness, some relationship problem, some difficulty, look to this to save yourself from these problems. This is what you must do. Crucify yourself with Christ. Voluntarily take up your cross. Which means you must learn as a human being to love everyone and to think of others rather than yourself. If we're honest with one another, perhaps you have to be in a dark room by yourself in the middle of the wilderness where no one can hear and you can whisper what kind of person you are. I hope you know what kind of person you are. I hope you know that you're a selfish person. I hope you know that there's darkness in you. And that the only way to be rid of that darkness is to act like the one who is the light. To put yourself on the cross, to take up your cross, to follow Christ, to think of others and not of yourself. I always try to do something practical in a homily, because really, theological truths are wonderful. They excite me. I'm never tired of reading them and speaking about them. The theological truths are meant to become part of us, not just to be understood or believed or for us to have a passing knowledge of, but to become part of us. And so this knowledge that Jesus Christ gave Himself for us should become in your essence. Therefore, you give yourself to others. And the more you think of others, the less you think of your own problems. I've seen that to be true in my own life. You cannot give yourself too much to others. Now, of course, there's judgment as far as helping someone and that sort of thing, you know, giving them money that they would use for bad purposes or wearing yourself out physically because of helping them. I'm not speaking that you cannot overdo things as a human being and get too tired and get worn out and get cheated and actually not achieve your ultimate purpose for a person because of your misjudgments. But if you give yourself to others with an open heart, God will always replenish you. And the things that are wrong with you will be pushed out. So if you have problems with laziness, you can try not to be lazy. Tell me how well that works. Not too well. It's pretty hard. If you just try not to be lazy, in isolation of other things, it's not going to work very well. But if you try not to be lazy, and you struggle to love your brother by praying for your brother, by being compassionate with your brother, by buttoning your lip when you want to speak badly of your brother, by trying to put yourself in the shoes of your brother, then that laziness becomes industriousness, even without you specifically acting upon it. It's that way with all our other sins too. If we don't have love for others in our heart, we cannot conquer any sin. We must have love for others in our heart, because the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And of course, the second, which is like it, to love our neighbor as ourself. So if we don't have love, we're far from God. So you start with love. You continue with love, and you finish with love. Without love, there is no life. So this being crucified with Christ, since love is the highest commandment, must be fulfilling that highest commandment, which is to love. To love God above all, and because God loves His creatures, to love those whom He loves above all. Try this. You have problems in your life, you try this. You see how it works, and you talk to me about it. I know it's going to work. It's worked with me. I've seen it work with others. If you're concerned with your own problems and not loving other people, and not concerned with other people, you're not going to make any progress. It ain't going to happen. But if you reach out to others, even if it's just with prayer, perhaps you feel incompetent, you don't know what to do, but you can pray. You can feel people's pain. And when God gives you the words, you'll have the words maybe to comfort someone. When God gives you the money or the talent or the time, you'll be able to help someone in some material way. But it starts with love. Love God and then love others. That's the way of the cross. And that's what being crucified on the cross means. It's not being punished. It's being purified. Being perfected. May God help you. May God help you. May God help us all to understand what it means to be crucified with Christ, and therefore to live with Him. Amen.